The case of tennis star Peng Shuai, who caught world attention, of course, after apparently disappearing after levelling sexual assault allegations against a former vice premier of China. The fear has been that Peng was being forcibly silenced. Even after a supposedly reassuring video call between Peng and the head of the International Olympic Committee, the Women's Tennis Association remains unconvinced, so the pressure continues on China, including calls for a boycott of the Beijing Winter Olympics in February. So is Peng's situation typical for those making sexual assault allegations in China? Well, Dr. Pan Wang is a senior lecturer in Chinese and Asian Studies at the University of New South Wales.
I think Peng's case is a very high-profile case, as it involves China's ex-vice premier Zhang Gaoli. It's typical in the sense that the government attempts to censor and silence sensitive topics that involve highly ranked officials and feminist voices and activities.
So maybe tell us a bit more about how that has worked for Me Too activists more broadly. I mean, what has happened to campaigners and particularly to their social media campaigning?
Typically, we do see Chinese authorities censoring Me Too movement. That's why you see especially Chinese netizens have nicknamed the movement Rice Bunny Campaign and used similar homophones and images as a way to avoid government censorship.
Rice Bunny Campaign.
Yes, Rice Bunny in Chinese language is Me Too, but when that translates back into English, that's Rice Bunny. It's a nickname given by netizens to the Me Too movement as a way to circumvent government censorship.
And does that work?
Yeah, it works to a degree. They are censored, but we can still see they are developing.
And what's happened to individual campaigners? Have they been subject to suppression as well?
What we know from the, you know, the media is the Feminist of Five, you know, relatively more high profile. So that's why they get arrested and detained for over a month. For other people, their accounts were closed, blocked.
And so how does the Chinese government see feminist activism, not just the Me Too movement, but feminism more broadly? Does it see it as a threat?
I think the government really can't tolerate any kinds of collective movement such as the, you know, feminist movement, because they think it potentially disrupts social stability. So it can be seen as a threat to an extent.
And what about the legal system? When Chinese women have tried to get justice over sexual assault cases, how does the legal system treat them? Do they get justice?
Few women won legal cases. There was one successful case, a 2021 case, that you see Shanghai courts awarded $15,000 to a plaintiff in a sexual harassment against a colleague who had sent disturbing text messages to her almost daily for 6 months. So she finally won that case. But many other cases are actually drowned. And there is no specific law on anti-sexual harassment in China, despite their progresses and policies addressing the issue of sexual harassment, especially at workplace. And that makes it very difficult to identify and for women to win.
Chinese leaders, including President Xi, speak frequently of equality, but there are few women in top leadership in China. Is China's government structure inherently sexist? Is it a patriarchy?
It is patriarchal in nature, dominant by males, as there is no woman in the Politburo Standing Committee, and there is only one woman in the 25-person Politburo. So the government, together with the PRC media, NGOs, volunteers, they have been launching initiatives and programs to encourage women's political participation, especially following the UN World Conference on Women held in Beijing in 1995. However, we do see gender bias and prejudice against women. They are still prevalent at different levels.
And coming back to Peng Shuai's case, what prospect is there, do you think, that her allegations will be investigated?
It's really many people's hope that Peng's case be thoroughly investigated and make transparent to the public. But it's really hard to say the prospect. Investigation can be really hard. I think this may end up silent as a result. It's yet to be seen.
And what's your assessment of what is happening to her at this time after we've seen these images of her at events and video of her and the phone conversation, you know, with the top Olympic official? What do you think is actually happening to her?
I think Peng is safe. This is for sure. As global attention is there, is on her safety and well-being. So I don't think the government will do any harm to Peng. Through Peng's case, this could be a punch to the Me Too movement overall. It's like an earthquake shake the Me Too movement. This may likely cause ripple effects. Perhaps more people may be silenced later. But sometimes when you press something harder, the faster it may bounce back. So in other words, this may further enhance the Me Too movement. I think China's state-led feminism has been successful, liberating Chinese women and promoting gender equality, especially since 1950. And Xi Jinping's anti-corruption campaigns have also been quite successful. However, addressing these issues, you know, such as sexual assault, remains a vacuum. So in other words, given the prevalent but hidden nature of sexual harassment in China, more government support and intervention are needed, whether that is through legal means, policy documents, campaigns, programs, or other sorts of initiatives. The government really need to, instead of censoring and silencing sexual harassment allegations, they should actually provide support and intervene when needed.
Dr. Pan Wang, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thanks very much, Linda, for having me here.
Dr. Pan Wang from the University of New South Wales, and more of that interview at the PM webpage.